Scripture reading for this morning is from Paul's letter to the Colossians, Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6, page 1835 in your Pew Bible. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6, page 1835 in your Pew Bible. I'll read the passage. I'll say, "This is the word of the Lord," and the congregation responds together saying, "Thanks be to God." Paul writes, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I should proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." This is the word of the Lord. May God add his blessing to his word this morning. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, this sermon this morning is number six. Sermon number six in our series on the church. We've covered a lot of stuff in this series, and I don't need to repeat it all here. Allow me to say this much. What is the church again? The church is the people of God. The church is the people of the triune God. It's the people of God the Father, the body and the bride of Christ, and the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's the people of the triune God gathered together for worship. And so here this morning is where we see the essence of the church. Here I see the church. Notice that it is very visible. I see you. The church is the visible, physical gathering of God's people saved by grace and knitted together by its communion of the saints. It goes without saying that the church is very important. The church is the powerhouse of the kingdom. We gather so that we might be equipped, strengthened in our faith, filled by the Holy Spirit, so that we might be a blessing, a salt, and a light everywhere else in the kingdom, in the workplace, at school, in government, in our relationships, in our marriages. This is so important. We gather as well to be equipped to spread the word so we can get the message out, so we can do our task of evangelism. Congregation, it's this thing I'd like to talk about a bit more this morning. What I want to talk about this morning is the church and evangelism. That's the title of my sermon, as you see. That's what I want to talk about today, the church and evangelism. Congregation, when it comes to evangelism, sometimes the church gets things a little confused. Sometimes we are led to believe that the purpose for gathering is itself evangelism. Is that true? Is that why we're here this morning? Is the reason we're here, first of all, to save some people, to save unbelievers, to save the outsiders, to do evangelism? Technically, the answer is no. Remember what the church is. The church is the gathering of the people of God. It's God's people who are gathered here this morning. And note why we gather. It's really for three reasons. We gather so that God might address his people. So that God might speak to them. Give his greeting. Grace to you. Mercy and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We gather to respond. We gather to praise the God who greets us. We gather to praise. We gather to pray. And we gather so that we can be equipped to go out and be a blessing. So notice the three arrows in our gathering, God comes to us. And we respond in our praises and prayers, also that we can go out. So we can go out. And what do we do out there? We take the grace that we have received here and we implement it everywhere else. We take the grace that we have received here and we wear it on our sleeves in such a way that people out there take notice of us. So you understand where evangelism is technically supposed to happen then. It's not here. No, it's out there. The order is we gather, God speaks, we respond, and we go out and we let our light shine. We go and do evangelism. Not that we totally ignore evangelism here. No, not that we shouldn't be seeker sensitive in our worship space. Not that we will ignore the unbeliever or the person who might be questioning the gospel or maybe here today for the very first time. Maybe you are that person here this morning. Maybe you are a person here for the very first time. Let me just say to you, welcome. Welcome in the name of Jesus Christ. May you feel totally welcome here. Allow me to add, if you have any questions about anything that we do here, then don't hesitate to ask anyone next to you. Please do so. And if by chance the person next to you isn't very helpful to you, or if by chance the person is rude to you, heaven forbid, but hey, all things are possible, I guess. Then remember this, the church is really made up of all kinds of people. We're not all the same here. Some of us are still very new to the faith. Some of us are hurting. Some of us are mourning. Some of us have issues. Some of us have stuff inside. Some of us are just trying to survive, which explains why we're here. We're here in this place so we can hear God speak to us. We need that. We're here so that we can pray to Him. We need to do that. We're here so that we may be touched by His grace before we go out there again. So let me be clear, we're not here because we always have it all together. Far, far from it. We are here because God invites us to Himself by His grace, and He makes us into His people. It's all by His love. It's all by His mercy and grace. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for our sins. He saves us from our sin. Hallelujah. And so, if by perchance the person next to you isn't able to help you, then talk to somebody else. Let me assure you, there's a lot of good people here. I know, because I'm their pastor. But if no one can help you, allow me to try. Please talk to me. Please send me an email or a text or a phone call. It's all there in the bulletin. You can find me. We really want you to know the Lord, and we want you to feel at home among God's people. Congregation, be mindful of the visitor in our midst. Let us practice hospitality. But as it is, the reason why we gather here this morning is to worship. God speaks to us. We respond in our praises and our prayers so that we can go out. And that's where evangelism technically takes place. And it's so that we may better do that. That's why we hear the Lord speak to us this morning about these matters from Colossians chapter 4. What does Paul talk about in these verses? He talks about the church and evangelism. Let's turn to Paul's letter then, shall we? Congregation, note first of all, Paul's audience. Who is Paul writing to? Paul is writing to the church in Colossae. We know that because, well, Paul says so in the very beginning of his letter, right? In chapter 1, verse 1, Paul writes, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father." Now, we need to understand that the way this worked was, Paul's letter, it was to be read to the congregation during the worship service. The idea was, it was through Paul's letter that God himself, he would address the church during the worship service. That's why Paul gives the greeting that he does. It's through Paul's greeting that God also says to the Colossian church, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father." Paul's letter, it was to be read in Colossae, but then from there, it was to be read in all the other churches as well. It was to be passed around. You understand that we have been doing this ever since, right? That's why we're looking at Paul's letter also today. By extension, Paul's letter also applies to Calvin Christian Reformed Church of Dundas. Turning to our text now, our text from Colossians 4, verses 2 to 6 consists really of two parts. In verses 2, 3, and 4, Paul talks about what the church ought to do in their worship in regards to evangelism. And in verses 5 and 6, he talks about what the church ought to do out there in the world in regards to evangelism. We're going to look at Paul's words in detail. Let's look at Paul's words in verses 2 to 4 first. Let's put that on the screen now. Paul writes, if you can read it, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should." Paul's focus here is clearly on prayer, right? That's what we need to do in our worship. God speaks to us, and our response is prayer. We need to pray to him, says Paul. We need to devote ourselves to prayer, says the apostle. Paul writes, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful." Watchful and thankful. Something noteworthy here. Note the two emphases. We need to be watchful and thankful. We need to be watchful of ourselves so we are aware where Satan might want to attack us. And we need to be thankful. Thankful for the grace that God does give to us, and thankful for the opportunities we receive to bring God's word. And so in our prayers, we are watchful and we are thankful. We are watchful and we are thankful. This is how we live and this is how we pray. Watchful of ourselves, thankful for God's grace. Paul writes, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Pray for us too that God may open a door for our message." That God may open a door. We need to pray for that. It's amazing how God does open doors sometimes. Makes me think of our trip to the Dominican Republic. We were praying for that, and I want to share with you how doors have been opened for us. On one of our afternoons in the Dominican Republic, we had opportunity to visit a hospital. We got to visit patients. We divided ourselves into three different groups, and all three groups went to different sections of the hospital. When our group walked into our ward, we were stopped by a security guard of sorts. He asked us what we wanted to do. And so we explained. We said that we wanted to visit the patients, give each one a gift package of sorts, soap, some toothpaste, toiletries and such, and then offer a word of prayer. That's what we wanted to do. That's it. The security guard said, "I'll go with you." Now, that made me, for one, just a little bit nervous, but this is what he did. Basically, he led the way into the ward. He largely was the person who knocked on each door and let us in. And not only did he let us in, but he also explained to each patient in Spanish who we were and why we were there. And then he translated our prayers for us. We would pray in English in the name of Jesus, and then he would pray it all in Spanish, fervently, urgently. And it's not like we didn't have our own translator with us from the Samaritan Foundation. We did. But this man, he wanted to help. He wanted to do it. What grace we experienced that day. God literally opened all those doors through that man who was a total stranger to us. But he was excited to help, and we were glad to receive his help, and all the patients were tremendously thankful. Talk about God opening doors. It's one of those afternoons that I will never forget. Paul writes, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains," writes Paul. Congregation, notice where Paul is writing from. He's writing from prison. He is in chains for the gospel. So notice what he asked the Colossian church to pray for. He doesn't ask that they pray for his release. No. He doesn't ask that they pray that the doors of the prison doors be that they spring open. No. All he wants them to pray for is for the doors of people's hearts to open up, so that the prisoners can hear the gospel, so that the prison guards might hear the gospel. Verse 4, last verse up there, "Pray that I may proclaim the gospel clearly as I should," writes Paul. This is what Paul called the church to do in their worship. They were to pray fervently for the spread of the gospel out there, and that's what we need to do too. That's why we're here. We're called to pray fervently. God speaks and we pray. And so we pray for our missionaries and our chaplains. We pray for 541. We pray for Alpha. We pray for our own conversations that God may use us to spread the word. We pray for the Dominican Republic that doors may continue to open up way out there. We move on. In verses 5 and 6, Paul addresses what the church ought to do out there in regards to evangelism. We turn to those verses now. Next slide. Paul writes, "Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." Lots of practical stuff here. And what's interesting is that what Paul says here is as practical and is as applicable and relevant today as it was back then. Let's look at these verses a little closer. Paul begins saying, "Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders." Be wise. What does Paul mean by this? In short, he means, don't be stupid. Don't say you're a Christian, but then act like you're not out there. Be smart about these things. Be wise. Be aware that outsiders actually watch you. If we truly worship God here, it's got to show that we do out there. In that regard, nothing Nothing hinders evangelism more than hypocrisy. If there is no Christian integrity out in the world, there is no reason, there is no way for people to be interested in coming to church here. Paul writes, "Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity." Notice what Paul is saying here. He's not saying that we need to preach all the time. He's not saying we need to become full-time evangelists now. Some people are called and ordained for that task, but not the rest of us. And so in that regard, when we go to work tomorrow morning, we don't do that to do evangelism, first of all. No, we go to work so we can go to work, right? When we go to school tomorrow, we don't enter the classroom to do evangelism, first of all. No, we go to school to learn. When we go to do groceries, we don't go to the supermarket to do evangelism, first of all. No, we go to the supermarket in order to buy our groceries. As believers, we still have our normal, everyday lives to live in the world. But here's Paul's point. When an opportunity comes our way to share the gospel, be it at work or at school or the grocery store or wherever, then we need to grab the opportunity. Paul says, make the most of every opportunity. Paul writes, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace. I like that. When we share the gospel, we're never self-righteous. We're not mean-spirited. We're not pig-headed. We're not rude. No, we're gracious. That's what we are. Our conversation must always be full of grace, writes Paul, seasoned with salt. I really like that. Salt, it does two things for food. It preserves food, prevents it from spoiling, and it gives food taste, right? And so when it comes to our conversation, we need to talk in such a way that we preserve the contact that we have and we make it tasty so that they'll come back for more. Which leaves us to the last part of our text. Paul writes, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So that you may know how to answer everyone. Congregation, it happens that our unbelieving friends and or acquaintances, they will ask us why we are Christians, why we believe, why we go to church. Can you answer that question? Can you? Why are you a Christian? And why do you go to church? What, just because? That's not your answer, is it? If that's your answer, then you know what? You seriously need to question if you know God's grace at all. I'm not kidding. I'm serious here. We need to give an answer for why we are Christians. Why are you a Christian? What has God done in your life to lead you to follow Him today? Each of us is going to give a very different answer to that question, I'm sure. We're not all the same. But surely it will involve acknowledging that without Him, we're lost. I am. Without God in my life, I'm lost. Christ came to save us from our stuff, from our brokenness. I'm a Christian because He gives meaning to my life. He gives direction to my life. He gives joy to my life. In the thick and the thin. We need to give an answer. What's your story? How has God led you? We share that. Not that people will never challenge us. Sometimes they will. Sometimes after they hear your story, they're gonna laugh at you. That's not to be unexpected anymore, at least not in this day and in this culture. Yet sometimes people will take ill of your answer, spoken with much grace and seasoned with salt. Yet sometimes people will simply despise us. We ought not to be surprised by that. In other countries, people are persecuted because they gave their answer. In some places, people are in jail for this. That's where Paul wrote his letter from. But congregation, may this truth not prevent us from doing our task. You know, some people, they want to do this the easy way out. We want others to do our missionary task for us. We want the pastor to do it. Or we want the seeker service. We want the worship service to do it for us. But congregation, evangelism is not why we're here this morning. Evangelism happens out there at work. It happens at the mall. It happens at school. It happens at the arena. Out there we meet people. Out there we converse and we talk and we share. That's where it's supposed to happen. And so we must allow God to provide that opportunity for people to ask you, so why are you a Christian? We must be prepared to give an answer in a way that is full of grace, in a way that is seasoned with salt. Not that we have power to convert unbelievers. We don't have power to convert unbelievers. Only God does that. All we do is we plant the seeds and God waters it and He makes it grow. This is our calling. This is the church's calling. Not that it's easy. Sometimes it is hard. But isn't that exactly why we are here this morning? Last slide, please. Congregation, this morning we are privileged to gather as the church of the triune God. As a community, we pray. We ask for His grace. We need it, don't we? This morning, God also comes to us. He gives us His greeting. He gives us, in the Word this morning, He gives us our mandate, our responsibilities, but He also gives His promises. He says, lo, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. And at the end of this service, He's going to give us His parting blessing. In this, we are encouraged. In this, we are equipped to do our task. This, then, is the life of the church. We gather, God speaks, we respond, and we go out. May God bless the cause of the church and evangelism. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we pray for the Church of Jesus Christ and our task to evangelize, to spread the good news. Father, we pray for our missionaries that we support, Kathy Vanderkloot, Jerry Ahn, John Bowers. We pray for Samuel and Leona Iriarte. We think of John Spann. We think of the Samaritan Foundation, busy at work in the Dominican Republic. We pray, Father, for each one of us as we speak and as we share the gospel, as we've already done so in the Dominican Republic. We thank you, Father, for places like Alpha and 541, where we just talk and we converse and we share the good news. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, that He came into the world to die on the cross to pay for our stuff, for our sins, for our brokenness, and He sets us free. Father, I pray for the person who might be in our midst this morning who does not know the Lord. May he or she taste and see that the Lord is good and that He equips and that He walks with us and He blesses us as we go on our way to share the good news. Hear our prayer. Bless the word to that end, for we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Already in the Old Testament, in the Psalms, God's people were singing about the New Testament age in which peoples from all over the globe would come and make their way into the Church of Jesus Christ. We're going to sing the last part of Psalm 22. That's hymn number 542 in your Psalter hymnal. The ends of all the earth shall hear. Children's ages 5 to grade 4 are excused for the Sunday school class. Let's stand together as we sing all four stanzas. We now have opportunity to worship our God through the giving of our offerings. The first offering is for the general fund of Calvin Christian Reformed Church. The second offering is for World Renew for World Hunger. So let's give our gifts and thanksgiving to our God. Thank you, praise team, for leading us in our singing this morning. We're going to stand together to sing Hope of the Nations. We continue to praise God in song. Let's stand as we sing. Lift up your hearts to the Lord, receive the Lord's parting blessing, and we conclude together with our doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow, to the tune, all creatures of our God and King. Lift up your hearts to the Lord and receive his blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.